There was movement around Australia. They gathered from far and near.
And I am very convinced that society as a whole, global society, is moving to the point where we are going to need more and more global governance muscle than we have had in the past. When you look at the history of mankind, we have moved from the individual family to the tribe, to the villages and communities, to the nation state, and now we're at the planetary level. We didn't have that 5,000 years ago. We are now at the level in which increasing number of challenges are going to have to be addressed at the planetary level, for which the United Nations potentially could be the best instrument.
We are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
To listen to old mate Leon on the radio, loud and clear, he spoke about a foreign invasion that's gone to the top job in the land.
It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligent, economic, scientific, and political operations.
They're after our farms, our fish, and our trees. So he called the resistance to stand. He spoke about God and what it means to be true blue.
The hope that each of us has to build a new world order in which nations and peoples with different systems and different values can live together in peace.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind.
Not for drinking. Authorities warn against the consumption of unpasteurized milk after the death of a three-year-old child.
I could hardly believe his story. A UFED income and true. So put the billy on Australia and gather round that radio and come join the resistance. It's a FED income radio show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Thank you for joining us once again on Fed Income Radio down under here in Australia. My name is Leon Pittard and I'm your host. Well, we turn our attention to geopolitics worldwide as we see the worsening situation in Syria. We see the war machine, the military industrial machine, is ramping up efforts to drag Russia into a protracted, longer conflict. Well, joining us today to talk not only about the issue in Syria, but also what is taking place in Palestine with the Israelis and all of the conflicts going on there is Stephen Lenman. Stephen Lenman is a geopolitical analyst that has been contributing to many different media platforms, including RT, Press TV, and many alternative mediums. And we're grateful for his time today. Stephen, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Leon, it really is wonderful being on with you, and I must say, if somebody asked me to describe myself, I would just say I'm an aging guy who cares, and everything I do pro bono. Nobody pays me anything, so I'm free to say and do whatever I please, and no one in the power establishment in America or any place else can accuse me of being on the take for what? For nothing.
Wonderful. And I truly appreciate your analysis and your work that you have been writing about and advocating many times for a peaceful world, And recently you just wrote about the American way, endless wars. You said that America is addicted to endless direct and proxy wars of aggression. Peace is anathema, social justice discarded, to devote national resources to war-making and the militarising the homeland. And isn't this the case, Stephen, as we look at the war in Syria, how there just seems to be this preset determination not to work for peace, but to escalate these wars of aggression and trying to drag Russia into this bigger conflict and possibly China. And I appreciate you being with us today, but let's have a talk about Syria and what is taking place there.
Well, Syria is the latest example of a country that America is going after to institute regime change in flagrant violation of international law in multiple ways, of course, not only interfering illegally in the internal affairs of another country, but waging a war of aggression. In this case, it began as a proxy war. Obama initiated it in March 2011, and now, of course, America is directly involved, bombing Syria, not bombing ISIS, as claimed, or other terrorists, bombing Syrian infrastructure targets and other government targets. This is what America is doing, and I've said a number of times in articles, Leon, that with all the thousands of airstrikes America has made beginning in September last year, so it's about 14 months, not a single ISIS or other terrorist target has been struck. And I think in a couple of articles I posed the question, is America that inefficient, that helpless, so unable to shoot straight, to hit a target aimed at? Is there something wrong with America's vaunted military, or is something else going on? Well, of course, something else is going on. America is waging war against the Assad government, a government that's overwhelmingly supported by the Syrian people. In June 2014, in an election independently monitored, it was judged open, free, and fair, and Assad was reelected with an 89% majority. In many countries, there would be something fishy about that. But Syria wanted independent monitors to come in, and many did, and they were the ones who judged the election and pronounced it open, free, and fair. And if there was another one today, independently monitored, I think Assad would probably get 90% or more than that percent of votes. The last thing America wants in Syria is an independent election or anything independent. And what's going on in Syria is the same thing that went on in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Libya, in Donbass, in Ukraine, in Iraq, of course, to eliminate independent governments, replace them with pro-Western vassal ones, puppet states that America controls, exploiting, stealing their resources, exploiting their people. All independent countries are targeted for regime change. America targets them for regime change, Leon. And the two main ones are Russia and China. And you would have to think it's nothing short of insanity for anybody in America to want a war with either of those two countries. You could roll over Iraq and Afghanistan or whatever, although America certainly hasn't done it. The wars continue interminably. But certainly those countries, when we're no match and are no match for America militarily, but China and Russia are entirely different, formidable powers, nuclear powers, with long-range missiles and nuclear weapons that can strike America's heartland. It's crazy to think that anybody in America would want a war with them. But I don't trust anybody in my country, Leon. It's the lunatics that are in charge, including in the Obama administration and Obama himself. I don't put anything past them. That before I pass from this earth, it's possible America could launch a war. There would be a nuclear war. It would be nothing short of a nuclear war if it was against China and Russia, which would mean utter devastation.
And we will get into the relationship and really why this war has begun in Russia. In Syria. I mean, you say from 2011, you write that really from then there has been proxy forces involved against the democratically elected Bashar al-Assad, with even today 70-80% of his people approving him. This is democracy, and yet the West is saying we are going to export democracy. We're going to teach them what democracy is like. And I wonder, Stephen, if we could just dispel this myth about moderate rebels that, you know, has been a part of the mainstream narrative where, you know, Ann Patterson, she's the US Assistant Secretary for Near Eastern Affairs, has admitted that the Nusra Front, which is an al-Qaeda affiliate, has absorbed the various moderate groups. I wonder if we could just dispel this myth about these moderate rebels.
Oh, indeed, I go further than Ann Patterson, say that whatever moderate rebels there might have been, there was no more than a handful. It's really more a fiction than a fact. Today, there are no moderate rebels in Syria or in Iraq. They're all terrorists. They're either ISIS or Al-Qaeda or al-Nusra or various splinter groups, and they're all U.S. creations. These people are recruited from scores of countries worldwide, including in Europe, Americans, I don't know how many, but even some Americans are involved, and they're sent to U.S.-run CIA and U.S. Special Forces-run training camps in Turkey, in Qatar, in Saudi Arabia, in Jordan. Israel is involved in this up to its neck, and these people are trained, they're armed, they're funded, and all the atrocities that they commit, they're taught these things by American forces and CIA operatives. They're taught in the use of chemical weapons, Leon. All the chemical weapons attacks in Syria, and there have been a good number of them, the Assad government didn't commit any of these. And, of course, the Western governments know that. But he's accused of doing this. But, in fact, the evidence shows that these terrorist groups have been doing it. And there's been stuff going on recently. Earlier, sarin gas was used. And I wrote an article just a few days ago about mustard gas being used, very dangerous stuff. Usually it doesn't kill, but it can cause horrendous injuries that are extremely painful, requiring long-term recuperations. Imagine getting burns on your lungs. Well, I don't know how you breathe under conditions like that, but burns on skin that is so painful that covers cannot cover these people in bed. Tents need to be built over them. I don't know what they do on their backsides. I don't know how you keep somebody elevated so that nothing touches them. But you don't want to get burned or harmed by mustard gas, a horrible gas, but supplied to these people. Maybe they've been taught how to make it themselves. And these are all U.S. proxy forces. The bombing again going on against Syria, supporting ISIS and the other terrorists. And these are the stories the major media never tell, perpetuating the myth about moderates and that America wants to get rid of this despotic Assad regime and replace it with democracy. The last thing America tolerates anywhere, Leon, is democracy, especially at home.
Oh, exactly right. And we only have to look at their allies that they're using there. I mean, look at Saudi Arabia and all of their Gulf State supporters, which have been implicated in the training and the initiation of many of these forces that are being deployed in whatever country that they want. Now we're talking about Syria. We see that Russia entering the stage here has hit the pause button, if you like, and caused Washington a lot of confusion about what to do, because now, I mean, the game has been shown up as them supporting terrorists against a democratically elected government. But as we speak today, the elite Syrian army units have broken a siege at Quds Air Base. Now, they've gone in after Russian air support, and basically they are beginning to take control of areas which have been previously under the control of Islamic State. Now, this is a good thing for Bashar al-Assad, and Russia's there trying to support this democratically elected president in this country. Now, America has said, okay, we're going to send in special forces now, and it seems as though these special forces are being sent in as human shields, really as in an attempt to escalate. If Russia by any chance happens to bomb one of these groups and kill some of these special forces people, well, obviously that would be a trigger for America to send in more boots on the ground, even though Obama always said no boots on the ground. So we know that they lie. We can't trust anything they say. How do you see this human shield and special forces being sent in playing into a wider conflict?
Well, I think we'll have to wait to see how this plays out, Leon. It's hard for anybody to speculate, but I have a feeling that Russia made it very clear to Washington that it is waging a war against terrorists, and it doesn't matter what name you give them. They're terrorists. Anybody killing civilians is a terrorist, and whether it's ISIS or al-Nusra, anybody at all. And Russia, I think, basically owns the skies over Syria with its warplanes, with its drones, with its support aircraft, and it's a lot of satellite observations, and they are going after these terrorist groups, and they're supporting Syrian ground forces to regain control of territory that they lost, and the Syrian army is doing this very slowly. It's very, very tough to do these things. I guess forces on the ground, if you're in the desert like in Iraq, I guess there's no place to hide, but in most countries, there are places where they can take shelter. They do it in Syria, they do it in civilian communities. You can do it. I think there are mountainous areas in Syria. There are places where forces can disguise themselves. So you need intelligence to find out where they are. That's why it's important for ground forces to be involved. Russian air power alone could never defeat ISIS, but together with Syria's army, which has really been very badly shattered after almost 5 years of war, they're trying to regroup. I think they're re-energized now that Russia is involved because they are making progress, but it's very, very slow going. And even though Russian air power is destroying terrorist positions, facilities, and their weapons, we know that America is continuing to supply more weapons, heavy weapons. And again, I would imagine Russia, on the one hand, will continue to go out to destroy these weapons as they come in and have made clear to Washington that it's going after these elements. And if U.S. forces happen to be in harm's way, well, that's just too bad. They shouldn't be there. If they are there, they're there for the wrong reason. And if they are there, and if they get wounded or killed, well, that's tough. Now, whether America is willing to go to war over that, we'll have to wait and see. You could bet your life if U.S. forces get killed, you'll see screaming headlines in America.
Of course.
Hopefully, there'll be no more than that.
And one thing we must keep reiterating over and over again for the sake of our listeners is that Russia has been invited in by the democratically elected government of Syria, whereas the United States at this time, this is an illegal invasion, into this country. They have no mandate at all from any international law. And it just seems to me, Stephen, and you, I know you understand this too, that this Washington does not regard any international law or anything that may align with democracy or we the people being involved in our future. What they want is to change the structure of what's taking place in the Middle East and really geopolitically worldwide.
There is no question that statement is absolutely 100% accurate, Leon. This is America's agenda, literally wanting dominion over planet Earth, and I've made the statement that America wants it so bad. It's willing to destroy the planet to own it. These are the lunatics that are running things in Washington, and every day, connecting topic, they're talking about Syria. The presidential aspirants in America, all of them, the Democrats and the Republicans, a handful of Democrats, and I forget the number of Republicans left, maybe 14 or 15, some of them have dropped out. Every one of them is a war hawk, and every one of them scares the life out of me. They'll continue, no matter who's elected, they'll continue the endless imperial wars, and if the craziest of the bunch, including Hillary Clinton, or the worst of the neocon Republicans, there's too great a possibility we could end up in World War III that could be the end of life on Earth if it happens. These are the lunatics that are running America, Leon. Just a horrible situation, and unfortunately, your government and the UK government and the Israeli government and most of the European governments are aligned with this war machine. Mm. I just hope that some of them awaken in time to realize that if the worst happens, they are in the line of fire, especially the European countries. They know what it's like to live through war. They have some idea what nuclear war is all about. They know what happened to Japan. They know what nuclear weapons can do. I'm just hoping they'll come around and simply will not tolerate Washington waging a nuclear war and just drop drop out of the so-called alliance, a coalition, and ally with Russia for peace. That's the only way we can be saved.
And while we're talking about really acts of aggression, we could look at the South China Sea and an incident recently where, you know, Washington is sending its navy in there, really provoking China. Ash Carter, a global research reporting today, an article by Eric Zeus, where he is saying that Ash Carter, in a speech, said, "We're in the middle of a strategic transition to respond to the security challenges that will define our time. We're responding to Russia, one source of today's turbulence, and China's rise, which is driving a transition in the Asia-Pacific." Now, this is clearly intended, a provocation, also to China, because the US obviously sees China as a nation that is building, that is growing and developing, and they see this as a clear threat. And this latest incident in the South China Sea, America's basically saying, we are going to go where we want. Now, China warned them and said, hang on, this is our territory. We want, you know, we basically want territorial control here. I wonder, Stephen, how you see Russia and China as an allegiance really against this U.S. hegemony.
I think the combination of Russia and China, Leon, in all respects, politically, economically, militarily, is an equal match, at least for Washington. But again, it's crazy. The idea of challenging China in its own waters.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine if Chinese or Russian warships were sailing in American waters, either in the Gulf of Mexico or off America's east or west coast? My God, they would be confronted belligerently, and we literally could have a war start. And America thinks, in the name of free navigation, which is a bunch of BS, we both know, sailing into China's waters, I mean, not as a friendly ally, as a belligerent, and then saying they will continue to do this on a regular basis because we will do whatever we want to do. And China is extremely upset about this, as it has a right to be, and simply not being willing to tolerate this. I just hope something serious does not break out. But I agree with China on this, and I agree with Russia and what it's putting up with, that they need to do something to confront America. Russia picked the perfect way,
yes,
Leon,
perfect.
By going to war against terrorism.
Yes.
It's hard to argue against that, even though America is trying with the vicious propaganda. But the clarity and the truth just belies the vicious lies that are coming out that hold no water at all.
Absolutely. And I wonder, Stephen, if we could turn to the reason for a lot of these conflicts. We have read and covered here the Greater Israel Project, and we see another conflict in Jerusalem and Palestine at this time between the original people, being the Palestinians, and the Zionists. And we see that the Zionists are really an underlay here behind a lot of these wars. I wonder how you see this. Do you see the conflict in Syria really being began and started because of Israel, because this is what Israel really wants in the area? The Greater Israel Project, of course, talks about expanded borders even from what they are now. And when we look at a map of Israel and we look at the Palestinian population prior, and we look at years later, how they're just being pushed and pushed and pushed into these little corners where really, you know, they are in their own country, they're being pushed out, and it is criminal what's going on here. And we look at what Israel is doing to Palestinian children. You wrote about this yesterday or just the day before about how they're wanting to imprison children. Once again, there's a correlation here between U.S. and Israel are going against all sort of conventions or international law. Talk to us about how you see the reason for these conflicts being linked to the Zionist regime.
Oh, there's no question that the Zionist regime is very much involved. And I say all the time, Leon, that America and Israel partner in each other's wars, partner in each other's high crimes. There's no question that Israel wants the Assad government replaced with a pro-Western one. And, of course, Syria and Israel share a common border. And in 1973, In 1967, the so-called Six-Day War, which was naked Israeli aggression, Israel claimed they were defending themselves against Arab countries attacking them, and that was a complete lie that Israeli generals and officials admitted sometime after that, that this was a war that was planned well in advance, and the generals said in the planning, they ate and slept and lived with the plans, revising them over and over again before they launched naked aggression in June 1967, where they captured the Golan Heights and the Sheba Farms of Syria. They captured a part of Lebanon, about 20 miles into Lebanon, Sinai, and of course the rest of Palestine that they didn't get in 1948, the West Bank and Gaza. And Israel wants Israel wanted Saddam removed in Iraq. They want the Hezbollah removed in Lebanon. They tried it on their own in 2006, and Hezbollah handed Israel its hat, showing that even a powerful military like Israel going up against a committed force will not have an easier time as they think they might have. But there's no question that America and Israel are linked in all these things going on, and they both want hegemony over the Middle East. Israel wants it regionally. America wants it globally. And what Israel is doing to Palestinians right now, Palestinians have been persecuted since the 1947-1948 war, the one Israel calls a war of independence, and the Palestinians call the Nakba, the catastrophe. And then in June 1967, Israel took the rest, including East Jerusalem, and it's been nothing but a nightmare for the Palestinian people ever since. There have been two intifadas. I think the third one is ongoing now, and it's because of a new generation of Palestinian youths simply not wanting to grow up enduring the horrors that their parents have endured for all these years. And I think the feeling among many of them is they would rather die than live slaves under the Israeli boot.
Absolutely.
And that's why they're resisting. And I must say, Leon, international law guarantees the right of resistance and the right of self-defense, and that's exactly what these young people are doing. When Israel calls them terrorists, they are lying.
I mean, look at this. You wrote, Palestinian children under the age of 12 and younger, not Jewish ones. So there's clearly two standards being employed in the world, right across the board. There is the U.S. Zionist war axis, NATO axis, which basically goes against all law to further its operation of terror. And then you have the people that are subjected to that, in this case the Palestinians. Palestinian children under age 12 and younger, not Jewish ones, are imprisoned, brutally interrogated for days and weeks in isolation, denied contact with parents, other family members, and legal counsel. They can be detained, incarcerated, or held administratively indefinitely, uncharged and untried. And when prosecuted, it's usually for stone throwing or, without evidence, military judges empowered to dispense injustice. So any idea that that Israel is some sort of modern democracy is an absolute farce, along with the whole idea that US is a democracy and Australia. We are being dominated here by elite cartels that are intent on furthering the military-industrial complex at the suppression of any sort of resistance, in this case being young Palestinian children.
Oh, there's no question about that. Israel treats young children as brutally as they treat adults, and the same goes for women, Leon. Israel makes no distinction whatever. A Palestinian is a Palestinian is a Palestinian, and young children go to prison. Now, the problem with imprisoning children and others is that so many times the charges are fabricated, and basically Israel's gulag, which is the only word to describe it, is filled largely with political prisoners, people who have done absolutely nothing, whether they're children or adults, and these people go into a military court with a military judge, literally judged guilty by accusation, and the only relief they can get is if a lawyer strikes a plea bargain to make the penalty issued against them a little less harsh than it would have been otherwise. But once a Palestinian is charged, there is virtually no way to get out of it and get your innocence prevailing over the charges. You're a cooked goose, is what I'm saying. And most most Palestinians end up in the Israeli the Israeli maw, is one way of putting it, persecuted brutally, whether it's imprisonment or their family members are imprisoned or their friends are imprisoned or killed or whatever. And right now, the latest count I have is that there are at least 500 Palestinians in Israeli prisons, openly not charged, administratively detained, uncharged, untried, held indefinitely, and literally they could be held for the rest of their lives indefinitely without any charges against them lodged at all. This is the way Israel operates, and they can do this to children.
Now, as we speak, Netanyahu has just been over to your country and speaking with Obama. Obviously got the handout for more military funding. The balance here is just incredible, isn't it? The way that the US supports this military industrial machine under this guise of its right to exist. And we notice that before his election, he said, no two-state solution, vote for me, the Arabs are coming, they're going to kill us, vote for me. So he's the war hawk before the election. Now he goes over there, and just before he goes over, he says, oh, well, we haven't put the two-state solution off the table yet. Stephen, they have no intention ever of allowing the Palestinian people to have their own land back.
Oh, that's absolutely true. Israel wants every square inch of valued land in the West Bank and East Jerusalem and probably Gaza at some point. Every square inch they want to expropriate it. They want to expel the Palestinians from their own land. And there is a zero chance that Israel on its own will ever allow Palestinian self-determination. And all the big lies spread by Netanyahu and the rest of the gang of thugs and Obama and the U.S. Thuggish counterparts, all of the big lies about wanting peace and stability and a Palestinian state is nothing but a big lie, repeated over and over again. The so-called peace process has been going on since at least the 1970s, so you've got maybe as long as 40 years of failed peace talks. If a nation really wanted peace, would there be total failure for four decades, nothing accomplished, and certainly nothing accomplished with the regime running Israel now, the coalition, which is the most extremist, racist, outlandish regime in Israeli history, previous ones, models compared to the thugs that are running Israel now and the thugs running America. There is no hope for Palestinians except to resist, and I say they deserve universal support. I'm Jewish, Leon, but I proudly say I am a Palestinian.
Excellent. And, you know, you're working for peace, and this is the thing. All people working for peace around the world, we need to deconstruct the mass media narrative to help people understand that the lies are taking place. And Stephen, in closing, is there any resources you would like to refer our listeners to? I will leave a link to your blogspot, sjlenman.blogspot.com.au. Is there any other closing thoughts you'd like to leave with us or resources to refer us to?
Well, I certainly hope maybe some people will take a look at my blog site. Again, I'm an independent writer, writing pro bono, unpaid, in my retirement. I'm 81 years old. How many more years I have left, I have no idea. But I really feel committed, Leon, that the rest of the time I have, I could go fishing, I could do something else, and I simply don't want to do that. I feel that the good life I had, I never became rich and famous. I don't think I ever wanted to be. I just feel I had a good life. Nobody ever attacked me. There was never any war in my neighborhood or on the soil I live on, my country or my state or my city. And I felt at this time in my life, I feel an obligation to give back. And that's what I do in my writing and my media work. The way I access my blog site, very simply, is just Googling my last name, L-E-N-D-M-A-N. There aren't too many Lenmans around, and it's very easily accessed. When I'm healthy, I'm putting up new articles every day on key topics, and I scrupulously try to get my facts right. I'm sure I make mistakes, but I honestly try to get it right. The one website I rely on more than any other is Global Research. It's a Canadian website run by Michelle Chosudovsky in Montreal. It's an extraordinary resource for wonderful information on many, many important topics. I recommend listeners visit that site on a regular basis. I visit it at least half a dozen times daily.
Yeah, excellent analysis there. Stephen, we will talk again. Truly, we appreciate your time down here in Australia. Thank you for joining us.
Leon, thank you so much.